Hey everyone, just as a note, it was not a great week for us for technical luck, so we had to use the backup recording. Gonna hear a couple glitchy things, but we edited as much as we could to smooth it out. Episode's still there, was a lot of fun, hope you enjoy it, and hopefully next week the Twitch servers and local recordings will treat us a little better.
The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by amove.tv. Check out amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit jossplays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this. You beast, Deroxys. You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
Greetings. Welcome back, everybody. This is TAC. I'm Garrett Weinzerl here, as always, with Ridiculous Hat. Jocelyn is out again this week. She is not feeling great, but says, you know, she hopes to be back next week. She's still not feeling great. We will sally forward. But there is Hearthstone to be discussed. There are nerfs to be discussed. There are lack of nerfs to be discussed. And there's also very confusing Battlegrounds esports to be discussed. Got quite the show to discuss.
A disgusting show. That doesn't work.
Yeah, it just kind of sounds gross.
Yeah. You know what's gross? This is a great segue because, Garrett, I told you that I had a bit before the show, and we are just going to ride right into it. So, I had a moment before the show. I came home. I wanted to eat dinner, and there was a frozen pizza. And I was like, hey, it's still good. It says it's still good. We made it. It's supposed to be a margarita pizza. It came out of the oven.
There's your first problem.
Okay, so listen. Sometimes you just want to come home and have a pizza without dealing with anything. It's a good deal. It's from a place in Italy called Taglia di Napoli. They call it the sleeping pizza. It's pretty good. But it was orange, like Chef Boyardee orange. And it's a margarita pizza, and it's not supposed to be that color, as you may have already been aware of. So I tried a bite, and it was not happening. It was not happening. So I have had one bite of Chef Boyardee-esque pizza and lunch a bunch of hours ago, and I have this delightful carbonated alcoholic beverage called beer. And so we picked a low ABV one. There's not a lot to soak it up right now. However, we do have the most wonderful thing coming, because now that I've gotten the idea of pizza in my mind, I've placed an order ahead of time for delivery pizza as soon as the show is done. We have the feeling of anticipizza, which is my favorite feeling. I know that pizza's in the near future.
I'm not even sure where to start, if it's with that awful, awful pun. The fact that you even understand that frozen pizza exists when you live in New York, or that margarita pizza is a thing, period. I don't know what to go after. So I'll just go with...
Wait, you don't like basil? You're not a basil fan?
Basil's fine.
Margarita, like the fresh basil mozzarella.
Yeah.
Not margarita like the drink, right?
Right.
We're on the same page there.
No, I'm aware of it. What else is on a margarita pizza? I forget now.
Basil mozzarella sauce. That's kind of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the clumpy mozzarella. And there's way too much tomato. I was going to go with, I'm just glad you're here. I'm just glad I get to hang out with my friend. I was going to dive out of the attack, but then you confused me.
I'm happy now because it's nice to hang out.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, I'll be feeling pretty good. And then there'll be pizza. And so the rest of the evening looks like it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Listen, man. Hey, the Demon Hunter not getting nerfed pales in comparison to disappointing pizza experience.
Yes.
That's not a joke, by the way. I mean it. I mean what I said.
Yeah. I didn't feel a strong need for Demon Hunter to be nerfed, but we probably disagree on that one anyway.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're definitely wrong, and that's okay. You've been wrong before. I've been wrong before. We will both be wrong again.
But you know who's not wrong, Garrett?
Who?
Our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Oh, I see what you did there, and I did not see it at the time. Yes, our lovely patrons who support this podcast with their own dollars, even though they don't have to. The show is free. But if you're out there listening week in, week out, and you're like, man, I really like those guys, and they're my favorite. They're the best. I get so much entertainment. That Alkali episode last week was like the best thing ever. Oh my God, I can't believe they got all that scoop about the creator program. And then there's like other people picking it up and making YouTube videos about it and tweeting it out. This is the most amazing thing. I get so much value. How can I give value in return? It's the Patreon, patreon.com/tack. And this week, we want to thank James Rock, our latest patron. Thank you so much, James, for becoming a patron. Hope you're in the Discord already.
Brian Brushwood. Brian Brushwood would have been so proud of that moment. That was very schwitty.
Was it? I have been listening to a lot of Great Night. I just finished the worst semester of my master's ever. I have had zero time for podcasts, and now I have listened to like double digit Great Night episodes in the span of about 6 days. So it might be rubbing off on me a little bit.
The escalation throughout, very Schwood-esque.
Mm, cool. Didn't really think about it, but good to know. Good to know it is seeping into my brain like a very hypeable leak.
Yeah, we'll workshop that one.
Yeah, we'll do it. Anyway, James, thank you so much for signing up. If you're listening, you like what we do, you want to support us, patreon.com/TAC is the best place to do so. You'll get access to our Discord and an ad-free version of the show for your trouble. But now let's get to the meat of today's show, because there is some Hearthstone news we need to talk about.
Good news, everyone!
Balance changes, get your balance changes here. Balance changes were, I want to say leaked, but they weren't leaked. They were put out on purpose via Twitter, via Gallen. And we now know that there's some balance changes coming tomorrow, April 26th.
They were officially communicated in a way that felt pretty unofficial, and it was weird. But I understand there's clearly some kind of hold up here, and they wanted to get it into the hands of the Masters Tour players, because the Masters Tour is this weekend. But it still is, whenever we get a laundry list of official balance changes via a Twitter post, always feels a little strange.
I'm just gonna move past the really good joke that Wicked Good made in the chat.
I'm gonna say it out loud, because that deserves to be amplified. So Gallen leaked. Is he court now?
It was a teaser to show, talk about the quality of our chat without giving away the goose, so that people feel the need to come join the live show.
The world needs to hear this goose.
All right, fine.
You gotta give it away.
Enjoy the goose, everybody. Hopefully it doesn't have a knife. Honk. Shall we start with the wild balance changes, which I have a feeling was not put out because of Master's Tour?
Probably not, no. Probably put up because wild was a format where people died on turn three routinely, and that's not great for people. So Kael'thas Sunstrider is getting a text box revert to every third spell you cast each turn costs one. It currently says costs zero. Zero is a scary number. Now, this is the text box is reverting back to the way it was after his second nerf in standard, but his mana cost staying the same at six. We've never had this exact version of Kael'thas. He was always a seven drop with this text.
Yeah.
They're going to try him with a six drop in this text, but he's probably still dead, which is good.
Right. What's important is the text, not the mana cost. And this was a big change in standard. It's going to be a big change in wild. I would be very surprised if there was a competitively viable list in wild that works with this.
Yeah, it's substantially worse on purpose, because they tried it out and it was a mistake, and then they put it back. So, hey, thanks for doing that. Yep. And then also, Switcheroo. Even though Switcheroo was changed, the text box is different, but also it was banned in wild. Because it's the text box changed, they made it so it swaps health only instead of both numbers. But wild is still a powerful format. You have double copy of Shadow Visions, double copy of Thrive in the Shadows. You can go get whatever spells you want. So before it was, you would Switcheroo out the Darkness, a 2020. And Stone Tusk Boar, a 1/1 with charge to make a 2020 with charge. And then you would cast Vivid Nightmare, which makes a copy with one health. So you'd have a 20-20 with charge and a 21 with charge. And your opponent is at 30 and they take 40 and they're dead. Now you just need one topsy-turvy, zero mana, flip the stats. So you'd get a 120, which would turn into a 21, which would turn into two 21s. Still kill your opponent. They said, hey, we don't want people to die that way. So they banned it.
Sounds like a smart decision. That's a lot of death.
Yeah.
That's a lot of death.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take 40 on turn 3 or 4 either.
Yeah. So switcheroo the switcheroo, I guess. Shall we get to the standard changes?
Yes. Tell me about them.
Raid the docks. You might be familiar with this. You might be a little familiar with Pirate Warrior. I didn't play a ton today, but every game besides one of them was against a Pirate Warrior. This quest line is getting an additional number on its final step. So instead of having to play three pirates, and two pirates, you're going to have to play three pirates, and then you guessed it, three pirates. Three sets of threes. Listen, yeah. I get that it's a nerf, but also this is just easier to remember how the hell it works.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were playing Pirate War, you were probably jamming pirates until Rokara showed up in your hand. So that will still be doable. It'll just take a little longer. It is a lighter nerf, but you know, not an insignificant one. The purpose of this is to make the deck less popular. It will make the deck worse a good bit, but it's already not seeing play at high MMR. So this is something that's really targeting, you know, players with a more casual engagement with the game, players that play a little bit less frequently. There's a big discussion going on in social media, or at least there was over the weekend before this morning's dumpster fire in social media.
Social media is the dumpster fire.
Yes. But the reality is people have different perspectives, people have different experiences, people have different skill levels. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you are playing at a more casual level than Pirate Warrior has been something you've seen all the time, even after they nerfed it last time, so they need to make it worse again. Because otherwise people won't stop playing it, and that sucks.
Hi,
so,
it me.
His design.
It me. Yeah. I see a lot of these.
Hi, Garrett.
Hi, yeah.
How do you feel about this?
Honestly, I don't really care because I beat it most of the time. Also, I like playing it. So if anything, I lean on the side of, just got harder to get my Rokara. But it's probably good. I've seen an overabundance of Quest Warrior. And I was already seeing it a lot before the standard reset. And this is the thing that feels the most samey after the standard reset. I think this has been a fantastic standard reset. I love the standard year so far. And this, I think, is one of the biggest blemishes on it, is because, like, just in general, quest lines, this has been belabored, but it really does make stuff feel extremely similar. A lot of people aren't even bothering to play quest lines because there's better ways to go. And a lot of those better ways to go involves more new cards that get us away from these very similar feeling game states. Pirate Warrior is not one of those things. It feels very similar. It's just that now it has a colossal minion that makes the deck even better. I'm okay with this.
Yeah. And more two drops. So it's faster. Yes. They had to pull it back because the deck lost cards and got better, which is not supposed to happen. And they always do these nerfs pretty early into rotations, into expansions. Listen, in general, but especially rotations.
Losing minions when you get a minion that gives you the minions you want to play and makes those minions cost one, is that really losing minions?
Not really. No. And also like Amalgam of the Deep and Obsidian Smith and Tuskar Trawler and all these just good cards that the deck wanted to play anyways. Even if it didn't lose cards, it would have added these eight new cards, and instead it wants to play the new good stuff. So it needs to get worse, needs to be less popular. They always make these changes whenever they release a new expansion and the story remains the same, they go out of their way to change that. We see it every single time, and especially with rotations. Remember in Barons a year ago, Librams, Penflinger, Janus Barov on 5, story remained the same. Can't have that. So they fixed it. Yeah. And it looks like they're trying to do that now. But again, this is not deleting the deck. If you still want to play Pirate Warrior, you can. It's a little worse now. Not a lot worse, but a little worse. But also, if you have the Pirate Warrior quest, and then you want to go dust it and make a new card because you get 1600 dust, go for it. You can.
Absolutely. Pufferfist is losing a health. It's going from a 3-4 down to a 3-3. I'm rather ecstatic about this change. I'm guilty of playing Pufferfist myself. I just admitted to playing Pirate Warriors. This is a very damn good chance. I have played quite a few Pufferfists since the new standard year began. Yes, it's amazing. It's a really good card. It is too good of a card. And so it losing a health, I am very, very excited about because the amount of times I have stared down the barrel of a Pufferfist I am one damage off dealing with has been many.
Yeah, it just like was really hard to kill for no reason, and it's a really snowbally card where if you're a go wide minion deck and they just clear your stuff with a Pufferfist, and then you look at your hand of other small minions, you're like, well, these are just gonna die and I can't kill that thing. I am unsurprised they pulled this back because it felt like one of the best cards in all three of the decks it was in, which was Demon Hunter, Pirate Warrior, Pirate Rogue. It's really good in all of those. Again, you're still going to keep these cards in your deck. It's just a little worse now. And that's kind of where we're going, is that you still get to play the card, but it's a little weaker to certain things.
I look forward to being able to actually trade with this damn thing.
Yeah. Or like hit it with a Fog Sail Freebooter and then hit it with a hatchet. Right. Like you can just kill it from hand. Nice.
Or if you're a Demon Hunter, you probably are getting Honorable Kill a lot more and then dealing 3 damage to your opponent.
This is a nerf to Demon Hunter because now I can only deal 3 when I kill this instead of 4. They nerfed my damage.
Yeah, but you inherently can give yourself one attack and they have a lot of cards that give them +2 attacks, so easier to math.
Yes, I'm memeing a little bit, but Demon Hunter actually does more damage when the taunts are bigger. We'll talk about that later. I get the feeling that you have feelings. So we'll talk about that towards the end of this section.
Yes. Demon Hunter continues to be a plague on this game. Switcheroo now swaps health only instead of stats.
So, Garrett, why did they change this in Standard if they just banned it in Wild?
Because it's bad.
Did you face any turn 3 12-12s? Did that happen to you yet?
Yes, I did. How did you feel when that
happened to you, Garrett?
I think it was the first game day 2 for me. It was the first time I went up against this. How did it make me feel? Hat, I do believe I screenshotted my board, sent it to you and Joss and said, what the fuck am I supposed to do against this?
That does sound plausible. Also, when I look in the patron-only Discord, there's some content here. Oh. I don't recall you were happy about that experience.
I don't remember that. You expect that I remember things I write in Discord.
It was not pro switcheroo. It was anti switcheroo because your opponent had played 2 12-12s on turn 3.
Okay.
So, and there are so like you can. I've seen some discourse on the internets about how just play Starfish or. Just beat it this way, beat it that way, or the deck is bad. All technically true. Does not matter. Even a little bit. It sucks to face 2 12-12s on turn 3 in Standard.
I cannot believe I'm still having to explain to people that tech cards don't work in a ladder-based game, that the ladder is based around best of ones.
And even if you have it, you just bring the entire game to that one turn and the binary of do you have the tech card? And that's not a fun game. And balance designers change numbers so the game gets more fun. And this was not fun. So they made it not happen anymore. Cool. Switcheroo is still totally playable in like Shellfish Priest if you want to play that. That deck's not great right now. Priest players are unlikely to be thrilled about the state of their class, but I don't think that they were happy about playing Scam Priest either. It just was a thing that you could do, and now it doesn't happen anymore, and that's better.
In all honesty, I've seen very little Priest since like maybe the first 4 days of the expansion. This wasn't a massive constant pain or thorn in my side, but yeah, boy, when it happened, it was rage-inducing.
Speaking of rage inducing, they also nerfed a druid card.
Yes, Miracle Growth is going. It's now costing 8. It's up from 7.
Yeah.
I feel like I have druid days. I will go days without seeing it, and then I have days where it's the thing I see the most.
Yeah. It's interesting because, yeah, definitely over the past few days, I've seen a lot less of it. A lot more people that are trying to deal with Demon Hunter or trying to just do their own thing, like whatever they want to do, but they're playing either DH or anti-DH. Mm-hmm. It's because DH is kind of like at High Legend, it's definitely the best deck right now. And it feels like it can kind of beat anything. And after players have gotten better with it, on turn 9 yesterday, I was playing Control Warrior. I was at 22. I had a 5 health taunt, and then I died. That turn. Threw the taunt, and threw my face. Dread Prison Glaive, Chaos Strike, Multi-Strike, hit your 5 health taunt, Predation, Predation, Fury, Fury, you are dead now. That was it. So, when people are figuring out both the list and how to play it, it just feels like that is the thing that's really defining the format. So I see a lot more control paladins, a lot more control
warriors. Is there much to figure out? Because as much as I can understand it, if you know to attack face before you attack minion, you're probably good. Which I realize
it's a pretty hard deck to play optimally. Yeah. But, like, I understand what you're saying. And yes, it is mostly hit face, but, like, it's a little tricksy, and there's some opportunity for some really high-level game planning, and the really good players in that deck are scary. But it's... I've had the same experience as you, that some days I just run into a giant clump of druids, and then other days I go, like, 5, 6, 7 games without seeing a single one.
How do we go into Demon Hunter on that? The druid isn't the big problem when you're worried about Demon Hunter? Was that the point?
No, just agreeing with your experience and trying to provide context to it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the variability of ladder inherently makes it so that you can have a bad day and not face the cards or decks that are being nerfed and be like, they didn't fix anything. And I've seen that sentiment too. I was talking to a friend of mine who last night tagged the devs in an assault tweet that has since been deleted. Like, you didn't nerf the right druid cards. And then after like a 6-tweet exchange, they're like, it's okay, I just lost a druid after full healing, and I was salty. So it's, you know, people just have strong feelings. I like that Miracle Growth is getting nerfed, because this means you can no longer growth into Nourish into Miracle Growth Earthen Scales. You don't have the mana anymore. So just life total will be a little bit harder to manage and get out of range. And in addition to that, they're significantly changing Kazakhstan, which is also pretty important for Druid.
Yeah, this is a lot. Activation requirements getting changed. It's now going to read Battlecry if you've played 4 other dragons this game. Craft a custom deck of treasures. I need to open this up. This being in a set of tweets is nightmarish.
Yeah. If only there were patch notes. There will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Kazakhstan originally was, if every minion in your deck is a dragon, or if your deck is only dragons, right? And that meant,
oh yeah, if all minions in your deck are dragons, that's it. Yep.
Which included an empty deck, right? Because you had what it really meant, the way they implemented this, is if as soon as it checks your entire deck, and as soon as it hits a minion that isn't a dragon, it stops and fails. But if it goes through the entire deck without hitting a non-dragon minion, it succeeds. And an empty deck means that all of your minions are dragons, or none of your minions are not dragons. Programming is fun sometimes. So, Druid played double Druid of the Reef, double Dozing Kelpkeeper, double Oracle of Alun, Ibis the Forest Lord, Naga Giant. None of these are dragons. The only dragon it played was Raid Boss Onyxia. No, it would just draw the entire deck. And they'd be like, hey, we're ready. And that was it.
Yes, so this affects them in that way, because they're going to have to play four dragons. You have to prove it. You're like getting, like, it's like dragon gatekeeping. It's like, are you really a dragon deck? Play four dragons.
Well, like, the original Kazakhstan secretly said, just cut all your minions. Don't play any minions. And what it says now is, play a bunch of dragons. That's cool. I want a card that encouraged me to do something, not to not do something. Why I don't love Drekthar. Drekthar says, you know all those cool big minions that you want to play in all your decks? Take them out. Get a Call to Arms instead. All right, fine, I guess. And so Kazaka-san said, take out all the cool minions from your deck or just have a lot of card draw. And it just got really boring and felt like a super powerful Elysiana. And the last time Elysiana was good, that wasn't great for the game either.
It's a good line of thought. And I don't know. It's like, this is similar. What you're describing is similar to the changing of Pirate Warrior. It just kind of goes against what I think they were intending, right? I don't think they intended for Kazaka-san to play out this way, the same way I don't think they intended for Quest Pirate Warrior to still just be a force in, you know, average leagues.
I mean, like, it's a difficult position, but if I've been someone that's really enjoyed Quest Pirate Warrior for a while, I don't want to stop playing Quest Pirate Warrior. But if I'm their opponents, I want to see less of them. So I want to make sure the fans of the deck keep playing it, but the people play it just because it's OP, air quotes. I want them to maybe try something else. Same with Ramp Druid. Druid is fun. There's a reason they didn't nerf Guff. Because doing a bunch of crazy crap for a few turns in a row and making a bunch of 8/8s is fun. The difference is now, you can't beat Brawls because you make three boards, they kill them all, and now you are out of stuff. And if you were playing a bunch of mediocre dragons to accommodate for Kazaka-san, first of all, good luck being aggro ever, because your deck has a bunch of crappy dragons in it. Second of all, your mid-game board swings are going to be a lot less powerful, because you have to make room for crappy dragons. So now, when you're building your deck, you have to make choices about what you want to beat, and that adds vulnerabilities? Well, that just sounds like deck building to me.
Doesn't it? What a novel concept. You want deck building in your deck-based game?
I do.
But, Hat, why don't you just play Starfish?
I do think Starfish is okay right now. But also, I didn't really want to get Edwin Van Cleef with 2 12-12s on turn 3. So, I'm glad that they changed that, because even though it wasn't good, it sucked.
Yes. Yes, it did. And then obviously
there's one more note here, Garrett.
Yes, a notable omission from this list of nerfs is anything at all for Demon Hunter, other than Puffer Fist.
So, Demon Hunter. All right. There is a logic here that I can follow. I think we can all follow. The reason they changed both Kazaka-san and Quest Warrior, both of these strategies, murder control. If you were trying to go threat for threat, answer for answer against a deck that's trying to pressure you, and then they play the Juggernaut, which says, I have literally infinite pirates and weapons. There is no removal spell for the Juggernaut. That's just, it just ship happens and you're done. So,
well played.
If you look at, thank you. If you're trying to keep up with Druid, 4 8/8s, clear the board. 2 giant Ivises, clear the board. Okay, Kazaka-san, good luck dealing with my Embers of Ragnaros. So, by making Kazaka-san a lot narrower and by making the Juggernaut slower, the control decks, control, actually gets to keep up and exist and do stuff, and the control decks, which have a lot of armor and healing and taunts, are theoretically pretty good against the attack deck. Theoretically. That's the dream. I will say I'm a little skeptical here. I would like Drekthar to be a worse card, but we'll see what happens. We'll see.
There's a lot of words to avoid talking about Dread Prison Glaive being extremely problematic.
Multi-strike is the card. Multi-strike is the problematic card. I love multi-strike. Dread Prison Glaive came out in Alterac, and it was kind of bad. Kind of only okay, because you could split your damage, like you could theoretically bust through one taunt that way, but you were still only attacking once that turn. Multi-strike means that your hero gains Wind Fury that turn. Wind Fury's spooky. So I love multi-strike, but it allows you to clear a taunt, deal the damage equal to that taunt health, and then load up with spells and hit your opponent in the face. That's a very efficient effect right now. Combined with Dread Prison Glaive, the two together are peanut butter and jelly. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you bring up Wind Fury, because Wind Fury is spooky, but typically is spooky with a lead, with anticipation. You know it's coming because something survived a turn. Like last year, we were dealing with this with like, oh no, two minions survived. They're going to drop the crap. What's the minion that gives Wind Fury? I'm forgetting it, but it was a big problem last year.
Battlemaster.
Thank you. Battlemaster. They're going to drop Battlemaster and I'm going to die. If you had answers, you had the turn to see that coming and do something about it. With Demon Hunter and their vast array of ways of buffing themselves, they are the danger minion that is always in play. Unless they're frozen.
Yeah. Instead of Demon Hunter, it's Demon Hammer. And we don't want to... That's scary.
I don't know if you're off your game today or if this is like high art.
That's high art. The title of the show is now Doom and Hammer. Two words.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree.
I'm writing it down. You can veto whenever you want. I wrote it down.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess I can't really. I can't disagree with you on multi-strike. So thank you for agreeing with me. Demon Hunter needs a nerf, and it's multi-strike.
I could see multi-strike going to two mana or plus one attack. I would love for Drekthar to just be a worse card, because Drekthar to Vanguard Treasure Guard is just such a nightmare, and the card is like a 70% mulligan win rate. But Drekthar is also... They just sold a diamond version of him for a bunch of money, and so I don't know if that... Like, I don't think...
Oh, yes, get down into the conspiracy muck with me hat.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I realized. When was the last time that business and design ever felt like they talked to each other? I don't believe that. I think that they don't. And design, if they decide to nerf Drekthar, they're just going to do it and it'll be community's problem. Because everything ends up being community's problem. And really, like, if you're nerfing Drekthar, that's actually probably really easy for 99% of players, because half of your population got the card for free. A lot of the people that bought the diamond version paid 3,000 gold. You just give them 3,000 gold and let them keep the Drekthar, and they are thrilled. It's just the people that paid actual money for this, which is problematic.
That is
pretty big problem.
It's a huge concern. Yeah, if you're working on this game.
Like, all seven people that paid real money for a diamond Drekthar are going to be so mad.
I bet you would be aghast if you saw how many people actually paid real money for it.
I mean, nothing surprises me anymore, man.
that's fair.
I bet that's someone would pay $44 billion for it.
You're just trying to distract me from the fact that...
I sure am.
It kind of would be okay if Demon Hunter wasn't in this game sometimes. And this is one of those times.
I'm having fun playing it, but I died to a lot of damage from hand with it. Like, either the meta needs to be worse for it, or it needs to be worse, or both. I'm not sure which. I don't think it's inherently problematic right now, but it's a little spooky. I went from having fun playing it to should this be this much damage this quickly, pretty fast. So I guess we'll see. Like, but there, it's on their radar.
I don't know. My second game trying it, I killed my opponent on turn 4.
That seems atypical. I'm proud of you, but that seems atypical.
It was gross, and I don't know. I'm of a biased position where I don't find the class fun and I don't understand what its identity is. I don't feel it has one. I've never really felt has one.
I love Demon Hunter, though. Like, I played it in Legion in WoW, but like, Demon Hunter is, they play a lot of minions and keep sacrificing them. They never make them bigger. They just make more and kill the ones they have. And instead of burn from spells going face, it's burn from attacking. Like, they're really, really big and the attacking doing something. Like, multi-strike triggering Battleworn Vanguard twice, making 4/1/1s, which replaced the ones that you traded in earlier that turn. That is a very Demon Hunter-y experience. I think that's really on par with what the class is trying to do. But right now, it feels like the class is, their class identity is do a lot of damage as a recipient. Or sometimes if you're Garrett F. and Winesurl and you're a Demon Hunter prodigy of killing your opponent on turn 4, feels like as the culprit and not as the victim, I shouldn't be doing this. I don't think that's where DH is supposed to go and where it's supposed to be, but like, I understand the feeling.
I feel like we just circle around until they come back around to some form of, I'm going to give myself a butt ton of attack and kill you. And it's just like, this is the guy that also hates freeze with a passion hat. And when the only recourse is freeze, I'm just like, this is a card game. Why am I playing against a hero?
Have you tried Lightforged Carryall? That's also very good against Demon Hunter.
Yes. Yes, I might be a little bit aware of this card. A little bit.
I thought you might. Yeah. In that matchup, she's the heart
cereal. I'm really actually looking forward to tomorrow because as a primarily Paladin player that loves playing Bubble Bot, Pufferfist getting any sort of nerf sounds wonderful for my Demon Hunter hatred. But just in general, I'm just here to be a little bit of a grump about Demon Hunter. I don't think it is an interesting designed class. And I haven't really
that
thought
it's... That is a proud tradition here in the Angry Chicken. It's, you're in good company. Pour one out for Joss. But Demon Hunter might be my second favorite class.
Well, you like openly hate control, so it doesn't surprise me.
Not
that
hate. I played
that
Holy
the class
Paladin.
That at the moment kills you for playing taunt. Like you play big taunt, and that you have actually played into your own death. It does not surprise me at all.
It's I played some Holy Paladin recently. I healed and I taunted and I carried and it was fun. And then I killed with a giant Mr. Smite. We can ignore that part. But it was fun. It was a good time.
I do kind of find it very amusing that that's how that deck wins. But
it's Shirvala Paladin all over again. It's the same thing.
It's Shirvala Paladin, but also doesn't it give you a little bit of a hint of like OG Control Warrior that would end with just big Groms?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Right?
And you know what? That was the first deck I sold my Magic Online account to buy that deck, to buy Shield Maiden Control Warrior. And it was really, really fun. I wasn't good at it, but I just loved playing with it.
it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I think I just don't like Demon Hunter. And when they're good, I get grumpy.
You would not be the only person with these feelings. And also speaking as a person that is not a Demon Hunter main, but a Demon Hunter enthusiast, your hatred sustains us.
It's fair. It's fair. I'm a little extra salty because I got really excited with all the old famous cards that were brought back in this year. The standard, right? I was getting this big hit of Hearthstone nostalgia, and I realize I can't really ever have that as long as Demon Hunter's around. It plays spoiler to that desire.
I mean, we could have nostalgia for the original release if they brought back Twin Slice. You want that?
No, I don't.
How about Altruis?
No.
You want some Altruis?
I want no Demon Hunter, not more broken Demon Hunter.
Well, I think it's staying in the game. Good for me. Unfortunate for you.
Yes.
Play Paladin. We lose to you.
Cool. I guess I will. The guy who wants to be playing anything but Paladin, but is having a very good time playing Paladin. And when I get bored of Paladin, I just let the tears of Demon Hunters sustain me.
They're rather good. I'm curious to see what tomorrow looks like. I still want to play some Ramp Druid tomorrow. Tomorrow, maybe it'll be more hipstery and won't be as good. And I really like ramping and big dumb Druid stuff, but right now it feels like being the bad guy. So it's just a little bit too much.
I'm going to come in here and tell you, just so we're clear, you're already the bad guy for playing Demon Hunter.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wasn't trying to profess some pre-existing innocence. We've moved past that. It's just not figured that out.
Sweet. Well, let's move past it into Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Have a good battle, friend.
Before we get to Lobby Legends, where's the Battlegrounds balance? Can we hear about Battlegrounds balance, Galen? You got any of that balance for Battlegrounds?
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I was hoping Galen is like watching would just be like, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, but here you go. Other than Demon Hunter, Battleground mentions anywhere seemed like a big glaring omission to me. But I realized it was this thing. It was on Twitter that was out there, as you mentioned, because of Master's Tour, and I get that. But it still just made me sit here and made me realize how over buddies I am.
They are Stormwind quest lines.
Yes, they are. So, they are quests for Battlegrounds.
So I remember when they first came out, the first week people were thrilled about them and there was concern about them leaving too quickly, right? There was that, remember that hubbub around them being temporary? And people freaked out. Like, no, I like buddies. I want them around.
It's not a freak out. It was a continuation of the conversation we were having after prizes. Because prizes felt like they went away too fast and they were not replaced by anything, which made the game feel like flat soda. Like we just went from carbonation back to water. And it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Although I think it was Sunglitters tweeted over the weekend, hey, where's Classic Battlegrounds? And I'm like, oh, I would play the crap out of that.
Oh, yeah. Vestroot Hulk and the Sated Threshodon. Let's go!
Players
who didn't play back then, that was not... We didn't pick those.
I'd probably be over it after a day of just constantly owning or getting owned by poisonous Murlocs, which honestly wouldn't be that different from now.
And I remember how a beast felt so broken back then. I wonder if they still would be with original Mama Bear. When Goldrin was a 5 and Mama was a 6.
Man, that's an interesting beast. I think is one of the biggest accomplishments of Battlegrounds, where it still kind of feels like true to its core and its original self, while still changing rather dramatically.
Yeah, it was a different time. I forget who tweeted about it, but someone made this tweet that I super agreed with about how BGs just feels like right now it is an APM fest, no matter what you're playing, and it's just too much to keep up with and too much to explain. And new players, just especially, it's Ben about this. If you're coming from BGs and you're bored of BGs for now, you go play a different game, because BGs players don't play other modes in Hearthstone usually, but standard players in month 4, they go try BGs, and if they haven't tried BGs in 4 months, they come like, what the hell is happening? What in the hell is happening? Because 4 months ago, think of where BGs was. I barely remember it. It was the early Avenge meta right before Buddies. Like, think about how different it is now.
I hadn't really thought about it, but it's Ben had a wonderful thread this past week that sums up exactly what you're talking about. The big point I took away from it and that I hadn't thought about was that kind of new player experience, or that returning player experience, that the easy to pick up, difficult to master, easy to pick up is missing from Battlegrounds. I don't really think about it, because I've been playing with buddies since the first day they introduced buddies. And to me, it's still this new thing, but I was there on day one, and so I was here to learn with it. God help you. if you took a few months off and you jump into a lobby of Battlegrounds right now, unless you get in.
Remember the narrative originally, like, Dancing Daryl was the crazy high skill cap hero that people had to work on for months to be good at. And now, like, I think just being pirates is harder than being Daryl was back then. Just playing pirates, and pirates are bad. They're not even good. But just keeping up with being pirates is more APM and more decisions and clicking and whatever. Every time you play them, the goal is to get to that state.
Yeah. It's got to be tough, right? It's you want to keep your hardcore players and your bought-in players and your regular players happy and interested and give them new challenges, right? This is the issue, I think, of any real game as a service. But I think Buddies definitely goes too far to where it is a barrier to entry for new players or returning players or players that took a break. It's almost like antisocial in a way. It's not inviting.
So you've been, I'm going to say, I'm not sure if I'm going to call you a BG's main, but a BG's enthusiast for, since I've been on the show, that's been kind of where you drift to when you open the client. Though I will say Voyage the Sunken City has brought you deep into the constructed side. So, I mean, and I understand that after the release of a new standard set with a lot of cool archetypes that you like, of course you're going to be back in the standard, but were you into BGs, like, were you still enjoying Buddies even during Alterac, when maybe the meta wasn't your thing there on the standard side?
Yes.
So
it took me a while to learn. And I've definitely had moments of being flustered, and there came a point where it kind of clicked and I was like, okay, yeah, we're just going ham. Most 9 times out of 10, we're not even going to look at the leveling button until turn 4. Once I got to that point and kind of understood it, I was enjoying it, because it was a nice change from the norm, you know, that we're kind of used to in Battlegrounds. But now it's gotten old. That's kind of where I'm falling, why I feel buddies, it's time for buddies to go. Because I feel for new players, I look at them as a damn near insurmountable barrier to entry. And for current players, I think we're all a little bored. I think it feels samey. So I don't think buddies are really servicing anyone right now. Unless you're out there and you just like consistency. Like I don't think consistency is inherently bad, the same way that I don't think randomness is inherently bad. I think there's a healthy mix of both that lead to a good game, especially in Hearthstone. And I don't care what Hearthstone mode you're talking about. I think a healthy balance of consistency and randomness yields what we love about Hearthstone. To me, buddies take it a little too far in the consistent direction, much the same way quests do, because original Hearthstone was already a card game that had found a way to increase consistency with a consistent mana curve and hero powers, right? That was a thing that if you came in from Magic, you're like, wait a minute, I get the same hero power every single game and I hit the same mana curve every single game and I can depend on it. It's blowing my mind. And the, you know, hero powers exist in Battlegrounds. And so that is something that also brings consistency to a type of game that is inherently inconsistent with auto battlers. So yeah, to me, buddies are, it's an extra layer of unnecessary consistency in a mode where we already kind of have a decent balance.
Yeah, it's like Hearthstone has had those random elements really emphasized visually on cards because the removal of so many inherent random rules. Yeah. And buddies are, I don't know, as a super casual BGs enjoyer who plays it every so often, like, I liked that I was able to get the cool thing without feeling like there was a fail case. But also I feel like the 15 damage cap and the armor system allows me to do something anyway, and I don't really need the buddies to carry my ass all the way here. I just want a mechanic that's a little bit more dynamic. Like, I really think Darkmoon Prizes was shockingly good looking back at it, that it had just the right amount of variance.
Right, because that's a thing where you have added consistency in that you always pick prizes on the same turns, but there's a lot more variance with the prizes. There's no variance with the buddies besides how soon you get them, but there's also an inherent feel bad to that, because if you're doing well, because the random element of drafting your warband goes well, you're going to get your buddy sooner, and if you're doing poorly because Bob decided he doesn't like you that day, you're getting your buddy later. So there's another thing too, where it's like the only real variance with the buddy is how soon you get them. Obviously the buddies themselves are different, but they're, you know what hero you picked, you know what buddy you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, and even if it can take you a week to figure it out or whatever, the first week that buddies are added to the game when there are 75 new units, you're like, whoa, what does that do? Whoa, what does this do? But then you figure it out and you get there, and it's, I don't think that the novelty really has a lot of depth there, because it's not dynamic outside of, you know, do I get my buddy faster or not? And that's not really dynamic.
No, it isn't. I miss prizes, man. I think that's just what it comes down to. I miss prizes when they first took them away, and I still miss them now.
I didn't really expect to look back on that mechanic so fondly, but that was the most BGs I'd played since launch.
That to me was why I had such a strong reaction to the limited time moniker for buddies, is I was just like, no, we didn't have prizes long enough. My reaction to that was more a reaction to prizes than it was a reaction to buddies, which at the time I didn't even know how successful they were were not going to be.
On the Ixar segment in the video, in the Year of the Hydra video, they're going to have seasonal mechanics, and seasonal mechanics means that they're going to be like TFT, where they're going to do a different thing every 4 months. And it's going to be some cool new different thing. And that means that theoretically buddies are going to go away with this patch, which should be in May, because it's usually a month after the expansion. The expansion came out the first week of April. So we are close.
Yeah. And I hope that happens. I certainly hope that happens, because I'm ready for something new. And hopefully something not too consistent.
Question about that in emails that we hopefully get to.
Yeah. And then Lobby Legends qualifiers are going on, I guess. I was unaware of all of this, and there doesn't appear to be an official stream anywhere. So I guess you just watch your streamer of choice play the qualifiers.
Celissa had a watch party. She's friends with all these people anyways, so she just bounced around and kept track of it all. But yeah, this was today where the top 48 got narrowed down to who makes it in. It was titled Qualifiers. When I think of a qualifier, I think of open entry tournaments where the winner gets to go to the big event. That's not what this is. This is like the round of 48 that cuts down to the was it 16 total?
Yes, should be.
So different.
Yeah, what I would expect I love chat right now because it's my reaction. There's multiple people like, wait, that was today? Yes, and that was my reaction. I had absolutely no idea this was going on. And I guess I wasn't necessarily expecting a stream because we kind of were told that there wouldn't be some big official fare for this, but it doesn't mean that I'm not hit by a sense of surprise when this goes down and think to myself yet again, boy, they should really do a stream for this.
I posted a link from Slissa here in the Twitch chat. There were 12 people that qualified. I guess there were 4 from the last event.
Aren't the other 4 from, was it from China? I think China does their own thing for qualification.
Yeah, okay, that's probably true. Yeah. Seems plausible. I'm making this up. I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had to think about it for a second because I really don't, it's so infrequent and there's very little fanfare around Lobby Legends that I don't really know. And I'm not like Joss. I don't like digging into the nitty gritty of esports. I tend to look at those official documents and glaze over. So the fact that I remembered that there were 4 players that come in from China and they're not a part of these qualifiers, I impressed myself.
Yeah, you knew the thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know the thing. Thank you for being the subject matter expert, Garrett. I know that when I have a question about esports, I turn to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. As long as that esports is Battlegrounds and as long as your expectations are low.
Listen, when it comes to BG's Lobby Legends, you have watched the most out of any of the 3 of us.
That is fair. I watched most. I really liked it. I want more of it.
It was good. It was good. It's coming. It's coming soon.
If it gets to the point where there's as much to watch as there is of Masters Tour, like, I'm not going to consume it all. That's too much. It's too much to watch. I can't consume it all. But right now, I think, that much like everything else, we've been talking about the balance of things here in Battlegrounds Hat, and I think there's a balance. There's can be not enough to watch, and there can be too much to watch. Right now, I think we're definitely in the not enough to watch when it comes to Lobby Legends. I get it, and I know that they've come out and said, like, hey, we're working with our budget. They've said as much, and I guess all I can say is really hope that budget gets increased, like Lobby Legends. I don't want to forget the qualifiers happened.
BG's is probably the most popular mode in Hearthstone still that should get airtime.
Probably.
That's the end of that thought. I don't have anything after that sentence.
Why would you say something so brave yet so controversial?
Yeah. Other way around. Controversial first and brave.
Thank you for gift-splaining.
I don't like that word.
I know. That's why I said it.
Got any emails? We have any emails?
Oh, let's see. I think I do. Let me. I just opened this mailbag. Oh, there's a button to press.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com, or if you're supporting us on Patreon, write us in the Discord. Welcome to the Patient Discord, everybody. Thank you for the support. So Toichi wrote in and said, theoretical question. Lobby Legends takes place on the 14th and 15th. They have hinted the MMR reset is the 10th, which is normally the big Battlegrounds patch. Is it fair or good design to have a major patch right before your pro event? I have always held to the controversial opinion that it is definitely fair. I think it's 100% fair.
I mean, fair is like, so you're just catering to different skills. Do you cater to people that practice and tune, or do you cater to people that play in more dynamic environments? One of those is not better than the other. However, 4 days is a pretty short window.
Yes, it is. That's I think the better question is like, is this what we want? Is this how we want to design our content rollout with competitive play? And that's kind of why I think I was hoping things would be a lot like we'd have the upset sooner than we expect, which I think is hoping for a lot, because nobody wants to watch the current Battlegrounds meta, right? We're all kind of feeling a tad over it, speaking generally here, but it feels old. It feels played out. I don't really want to watch an event based in what we currently have in Battlegrounds, but at the same time too, I don't know. I don't really want my pro players to not see the sun for 4 days as they cram to try and have a leg up.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good dichotomy. And like, assuming, I don't have to assume this is a fixed date. Lobby Legends on Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th in the US.
Yeah.
If the patch could be out Thursday the 5th, 9 days, like the 5 to 10 day window is where I want to be a week before. Just give me a week before.
But if 7 days or more is where I think it feels okay. A little bit longer would be cool, but there's also a sweet spot, right? Like, I think as close as you can get comfortably, then it becomes exciting for the viewers at home because they're like, oh, it's a new meta. I can't wait to see what the best players in the world do with this, you know, before it gets too figured out. And then there's also surprises. There's strategic surprises in the play that you're going to watch.
Yeah, I am excited by new meta, pro players. What do they do? What do I do? What do they do that's different from what I would do? I think that's really rad. But 4 days versus 8 days is a world of difference because the player quality of life experience in that time is so horrible. And it dictates a dedication that if you're not a full-time BG's player, you get a job. You can't do this crap. And do it. So it just reduces the player pool. If it's 8 days, you get a weekend, get some time. Maybe you're someone that like you have a different work-life balance with Hearthstone, but you're also really good, then you can figure it out in this time period. But a 4 day time period, you just can't. Either you play right away for that entire period, or you don't.
My brain goes, this points to it's gonna happen earlier than we think, or later than we want.
I hope so. That's a good dichotomy. Yeah, like the dream for me is Thursday, the 5th, which is the day Doctor Strange comes out. Hope is that night.
I'm sorry. I have tickets. I have tickets to that.
Good. Go see a movie.
I'm going with friends.
I want you to do it.
We're going to that fancy theater where like you sit down and they bring you a menu and you can order dinner.
And drinks.
Yes, you can get drinks. I don't know about you, but here you can get drinks at like every movie theater now.
It's
all of them.
The Northeast is an interesting place with blue laws, which we are working through because it's very silly that we don't have a bar at our theater.
But, okay. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know New York was like that. To the chat,
it
not Draft House
always,
here,
but it is rough.
The fancy dinner movie theater here is Cine Bistro. We don't have Draft House.
There are tons of them everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And here it's like, I think it's only $2 more than the quote unquote cheap theater. So at this point, I just basically see all my movies there. Sometimes I eat and sometimes I don't.
Because it's better. Because why would you not want to sit in a more comfortable chair?
The chair is just straight up infinitely better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be like if I could get first class for a $2 upcharge while flying, I would always do it.
It turns out if you have to be in a chair for 2 to 3 hours, that it being comfortable is better.
It is. But hey, on the bright side, we can all watch The Batman at home, which is great because it's way too long, even though I think it's a really good movie.
Yeah, more on the dark side. That movie's not very bright. Very dim lighting.
Well played. What does Hollow Point have to say?
Hollow Point has an email. Hello, Cluckophonous Cluckers. That's quite the word. Since my Hearthstone New Year's resolutions were announced on the pod in another question, I went out and fulfilled one of them this month. Congratulations. Hollow Point hit their first time legend after
what?
8 years playing Hearthstone. Congratulations, Hollow Point.
Lee Butts. That is awesome. Congrats.
It was
big time.
It was never feasible for me time-wise before, especially in the old system. Anyways, what do you do when you just don't understand how a deck works for you. After riding the Juggernaut alongside Nelly's Pirates and the Platinum, I used the Vicious Syndicate Naga Demon Hunter deck. I couldn't understand the deck until I watched Superior Dave's video playing a version of the deck twice. It clicked somewhere in my brain. Maybe Joss or Hat can explain their mindset and how to play an aggressive deck for us combo, mid-range, control players. Thank you for a fantastic show and accompanying me in my Hearthstone journey since episode 5 or 6, whichever was literally the first Ben Brode episode. Haven't missed one since after listening to those first four.
By the way, I have an answer to this question of what do you do when you don't know how to play a deck?
Go ahead.
I do exactly what Hollowpoint did here. I either A, go watch a video, or B, I ask Hat or Jocelyn. That's exactly what I do.
I love that the way, like, how do I learn how to play Demon Hunter? Joss, do you know? I love that.
Not for Demon Hunter fun. Specifically. Although last year there was a time where I could have asked Jocelyn and she would have had answers. This is unfair. She's not here to defend herself.
She is not.
And I don't think I could do worse trash talking than reminding the world that Jocelyn Carney played Demon Hunter last year.
She did, but it was like Death Rattle Demon Hunter felt more like Hunter Hunter.
Do you remember that time that Jocelyn Carney of the Angry Chicken played Demon Hunter?
I do. It was fun. So anyways, to answer this question, what do you do if you can't figure out a deck? Yeah. Like what Garrett said. Watch the video. I think there's something to be said.
Uh-oh.
I picked it up pretty quickly, and it was pretty enjoyable pretty fast because I like buffing my attack and doing damage and hitting things, and it's cool and fun. But also I picked up Holy Paladin, and Holy Paladin is not the way I normally play the game. So I watch some other people. I'm big on just loading up a deck into the client and just playing it in ranked, who cares, whatever. It's just a game. And seeing what happens. I cycled some cards. I healed. There were some matches where I was supposed to win, and I definitely played poorly, and I lost. And then shouldn't have done that. I won't do that next time. Just kind of figured it out.
That too. That's typically how I prefer to do it. I'll usually do it with like HS Replay Open and see what the mulligan win rates are and stuff like that. That's usually my first step. And then I adjust from there.
Yeah, it's like, how do I learn a deck? Play it. That's the start. I understand that sounds reductive. And if there are times when you play a deck for a few times and you don't get it and it's not fun, I usually delete the deck at that point. If I don't get it and I'm not having a good time, I'll usually just do something else because my time is too valuable to not have fun and feel confused during a video game. But if I really want to learn something and figure it out, I'll watch somebody else that I know was good at it play it. I always have this litany that I share when people talk about randomness being important in a deck being good or like a player being fortunate. The way I see it is there are people that hit rank 1 legend or top 10 legend every single season, almost no matter what they're playing. They're clearly making a set of decisions that I'm not making if I'm not in that rank consistently. So if I want to improve, I have to acknowledge there are decisions that I'm unaware of that I might be making poorly that I can improve at, that I can make better. Find whoever's doing that. Emulate those decisions, at least behaviorally, until I understand the root of the behaviors of the decision-making process. And then I can take those skills on and then make my own better decisions afterwards. Try and pursue that when I can. But that's only if I have the time and I really want to learn a specific deck and I really feel like there's something there that's close to enjoying, I just can't win with it. Like with Naga Mage for me right now. Love that deck. Don't win a lot with it. But would I put that same kind of effort into learning Control Warrior? Personally, I wouldn't. But if you want to, the resources are out there.
Control hater.
I'm impatient and the games are slow.
I have literally said on this episode that Control Warrior and Control Paladin bores me. So I'm just tooling with you, sir.
Does Boar Priest bore you?
I know I bore them. You get it. Yeah,
you're such a ham.
I have no follow up. I'm punned out.
Yep.
I feel like I've been punished this entire episode.
No.
There it is. Yeah, I tend to just get out there and try it, try to break it, see how it goes, and make adjustments from there. It's kind of how I do everything. If I'm trying to pick up a new song on the guitar, I kind of just send it. And then when I hit a snag, I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to actually go and pick up a tab now, see where I'm, what I'm missing here. Also, it's kind of fun. I like that discovery. I like having that. I like having my assumptions challenged.
Yeah. And this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do in Elden Ring. This is what I did in Elden Ring. Whenever I wanted to beat a boss, when I got to the boss, I would pull him a couple of times. And if after a couple of times I got completely bodied, if it was my damage wasn't high enough and the boss's damage was way too high, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go do something else. But if my damage was reasonable, but I just had no clue about the patterns, and it was 3-4 pulls or whatever, and it's like, and it made me angry, I would just pull up a quick YouTube, watch the phase real quick, or look at the wiki and be like, oh. And then do something better with more information. But I would always do a few pulls first.
Hachikuma is trying to make a car reference. I can't speak to parking lots. That would be illegal. But I did do a track day last year, and it was very similar. I did have an instructor that gave me very basic guidance on how to get around the track, because things could go really wrong if you do it very, very wrong. But, you know, we did a basic lap, taught me the pointers, and then from there on out, like, we had a whole session where he basically didn't say anything. And he was just gathering information about what I was doing. And he was like, all right. What, you want to know how to go faster? I was like, yes, please tell me. So it was cool. It was very much kind of, I just sent it, kind of figured out how it felt. But then during that, I also literally felt ways I could improve. Feel like the car lurched, like, oh, I could have been in a lower gear there. I needed more torque. Or feel like, oh, no, I had more brakes there. I could have hit the brakes later, thus getting through the corner faster. And this whole thing, and then also having a pro tell me, all right, yep, it's just this multifaceted approach of starting to figure it out for yourself, and then when you feel stuck, going and seeking guidance. So,
yeah,
I'll point you and I instinct sound like we kind of validation. Do it. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I'll point you and I sound like we already kind of do the same thing. So, I think you're going to be just fine. Clearly, you are just fine. Welcome to Legend, friend. Congratulations.
Big orange number.
Ooh, yeah.
Congrats.
Cool semi-rare card back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Legend is like 1% of the player base. I would say fairly rare. I would say pretty rare.
I honestly barely see it these days. I feel like, I don't know, are Legend players just sick of their Legend card back? Or am I terrible at Hearthstone?
The introduction of the random card back, I think it's a significant change there.
That's fair.
Yes.
Anyways, thank you for your questions, everybody. Keep them coming. TACpodcast@gmail.com. If you're supporting us on Patreon, write us on the Discord. We have a dedicated question channel specifically just for questions for the show. We also have an Ask the Host channel if you have questions not for the show. You just like want to banter. That is also there. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode.
That's why we have two channels.
Yeah,
that makes a lot more sense.
One is for the show, one is not for the show. Yeah. Anyways, huge thanks again to our wonderful patrons for supporting us. If you're out there listening, you like what we do, and you want to support us, check out patreon.com/TAC. Come join us in the Discord. Come get an ad-free version of the show. The back catalog of Angry Chicken can be found over at theangrychicken.com or youtube.com/amove2. And a huge thank you to our Patreon producer, Dustin C. We're live Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on twitch.tv/amovetv. And you can find Joss's work outside of The Angry Chicken over on Twitter @JossPlays or on the Gamers In podcast, which you should definitely go give a listen. I believe she also guested on For Azeroth recently, which is a podcast we both used to be regular hosts on. But then she guested on it, so you should probably go give that a listen. But in the meantime, before we go...
There are dragons.
Yes, there are dragons that glide... They wanted to be very specific that we don't think they fly, even though the expansion is called Dragonflight. Don't be confused. Weird. You'll be flying on your dragons in Dragonflight.
Okay.
Hat, where can folks find you when you're not on the Angry Chicken?
Looking up Dragonflight or glide mechanics, but also you can find me on twitter.com/ridiculoushat, where I tweet things still. And also I'm on a bunch of podcasts. Hearthstone podcast specifically. This one, Coin Concede, we make the competitive side of the game more accessible to you over at coinconcede.com. The Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper podcast, we take a data-driven look at the standard metagame. And a shout-out specifically this week, I guested on the Oops All Duels podcast, which is about duels, as you may have guessed. And had a pretty cool moment where an hour into the show, I get a message from Tabarak, who is one of the devs on the team. It's like, hey, can I jump in? Yes. Yes, you can. So the dev crashed the podcast and joined an hour in and talked to us another 45 minutes.
That's delightful.
A lot of fun. It was great.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen the back and forth on that. Like message goes out to PR, like, hey, can I just jump on this? And PR being like real quick doing the math. Yes. Or did they just go rogue?
My understanding is he had pre-existing approval for the show. And also part of the DMs may or may not have been him asking if it was okay. And me saying, I refuse to document my enabling of this. But also, here's an invite link.
Nice.
So, you know, it was a fun time.
Here's a link if you happen to click it and say things, that's on you.
I'm not going to share the specific. Garrett, where can people find you?
I would really appreciate it if you went and checked out my newer YouTube channel over at youtube.com/amovetv, where I am playing through Final Fantasy XIV for the first time ever. Today, I just began Stormblood, the second expansion for Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. And we'll have a new video out this week about all of the things that I think you should do before you start Stormblood, because there's a remarkable amount of cool content that's still a part of the free trial that is not required. You don't have to do it to progress the story. But it's really good, and I think you should do it. And so if you want those tips, you should go to youtube.com/amovetv and check that video out when it releases this Wednesday. Also, from time to time, I check in with other MMOs. And so if you want my thoughts on Dragonflight, well, that's the most recent video. youtube.com/amovetv. Check it out for Final Fantasy.
You mean Dragon Glide?
Yes, Dragon Glide. Dragon not flying. Anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of The Angry Chicken. Until next week, until episode 464. Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.